One federal elephant is showing it can learn to dance. Homeland Security, where the use of agile software development is finally moving out of the pilot stage. Citizen and Immigration Services put out a major solicitation requiring contractors to use agile development across a broad range of enterprise support services. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins me now with details about how CIS is leading the department toward agile. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so agile, it's the word we hear in every conference, and now CIS is asking for agile. What is it actually asking for in this proposal?
Yeah, you're right. It seems like you can't go anywhere where there's someone not talking about agile. But what the Homeland Security Department, and specifically the Citizen and Immigration Services, this request for a quote or RFQ, which came under the Eagle 2 contract back in April, something called the Support for Platform Engineering and DevOps Integration. Of course, there's an acronym, Tom, SPEDI or SPEDI.
SPEDI.
SPEDI, yeah.
Rhymes with Jedi.
But it's one of the largest and broadest support services contracts that's calling for the use of agile development. CIS says it's worth more than $100 million over the life of the contract. Now, the RFQ calls for a vendor to support the migration of CIS application development methodology from what they call a traditional waterfall, which is, you know, you say at the very beginning, we're going to do this, and then you try to get to this sometime down the road, 3, 4, 5 years later, to an agile framework, which is the idea that you're going to have development that happens every 2 weeks, every month, every 3 months, a specific short period of time where they're going to deliver capabilities that matter to the business owner each time. And that's the big difference between agile and waterfall. CIS says these frameworks require cloud services that are virtualized, scalable, and cost-effective. They want to utilize DevOps practices, which emphasizes a collaborative teaming between all disciplines involved in the cradle-to-grave software lifecycle. So what does that mean, cradle-to-grave, all disciplines? It means it's not just throw requirements over the fence and have the IT folks take care of it, but really work hand-in-hand with the business owners who will be using the software support services. A couple things that the RFQ specifically calls out: enterprise platform and cloud integration services, enterprise project management services, enterprise infrastructure implementation, and information security support services. The key word across all that, Tom, as you probably heard, was enterprise. They want it for the entire component. Now, CIS is in the process of adapting Agile, so they do want it for more than just their software development. They want it through the entire service delivery part. And they said a core piece of this is the idea of this continuous delivery, which we'll hear a lot about, which is the automation of the ability to recreate an environment at all times from what they call a configuration management database. So if you mess something up in one of your deliverables, you should go right back to where you began, and it's not that big of a deal. Now, Luke McCormick is the DHS Chief Information Officer. He says CIS is one of the more mature organizations using Agile, but the reason why CIS is out in front is one many agencies can understand.
When you strain a grape, you know, you get the best wine. Sometimes when you sort of, you know, push down on your top line, you know, the innovation comes out, right? The MacGyver comes out in all of us, and you start to sort of break through some barriers because you're forced to do that in some cases. And I think that's a good thing, because what that does is sort of invite and entice innovation, and that is important. And we see that now, and I think all of us are beginning to recognize that and take advantage of that, which I think is very important. To deliver on these real-time needs that continue to emerge.
Now, McCormick spoke Thursday at the FCA Bethesda Law Enforcement IT Day. Now, in many ways, Tom, CIS's move to Agile came from both failure and came from opportunity. This big RFP really does build on that innovation you heard Luke McCormick talk about, that it's emerged over the last 2 or 3 years. Just real quick on this, one more thing about the note about the RFQ. The CIS just extended the due date of this RFQ through June 16th. Currently, SAIC holds the contract to provide these types of services. Their contract is supposed to end June 27th. They got paid an extra $26 million to extend the contract from January to June. I imagine CIS will have to extend it again because this award will not be made by the end of June when the current contract runs out. So this is something, obviously, we will keep an eye out on.
All right, so CIS is driving Agile with this big proposal, this big solicitation. How is this pushing it throughout Homeland Security as a whole?
Well, I think the idea of continuous delivery is something that is spreading across nearly every part of DHS. I mean, I've seen DHS component CIOs, whether it's FEMA or TSA or Customs and Border Protection, really talk about this idea of continuous delivery or Agile at several conferences over the last few months. Luke McCormick says DHS saw the change that was coming with the well-documented problems of IT projects, whether it was the FBI Sentinel case management program or healthcare.gov.
If you haven't spent the time to understand what happened in the healthcare situation, right, healthcare.gov, more importantly, what fixed it, it's worth paying attention to that and understanding that. And if you weren't paying attention to a fantastic delivery that one of my esteemed colleagues put together on a Sentinel, which is the case management system over at FBI, you really should, because what you're seeing across our community is we're moving out of sort of these rescue situations and into more of a real-time delivery mode.
And look, Tom, you can look at every agency, DHS included, they've had those quote-unquote rescue operations, whether it was CBP and Immigration and Customs Enforcement's what they call their TECS program, or the CIS's transformational effort, or TSA's technology infrastructure program. You know, really every agency, DHS included, has faced the fact that this waterfall approach for IT projects just doesn't work and they have to do something different. McCormick says the change in how technology is used and delivered, such as cloud mobility, also is playing a big role, as is the what we'll call the commoditization of back office infrastructure.
We're taking tools and techniques that we've learned and discovered, some of us early adopters of, some of us evolving to, and are being able to deliver services and what used to take years into months, and literally delivering services from months to weeks, and in some cases, literally days. And when I'm talking about services, I'm not talking about, you know, firing up a website. I'm talking about delivering way up the value stack, way up the value chain, in regards to business applications that all of these communities need in order to do their roles.
Now, McCormick says agencies are learning more and more how to assess the benefits and value of these services and as they are delivered in that near real time. And I think that's the key. You have a combination of cloud, you have a combination of mobility, and you have a combination of a better understanding of what these services entail.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. Jason, did you get a sense of why Agile now is taking hold? Because this is something that's not brand new to the government. They used to have modular contracting also.
Yeah, I love that term, modular contracting. It's so much easier to understand than agile in many ways. I think there's a couple of reasons. I think, as you heard McCormick talk about budget challenges in the very beginning, that innovation comes from when you have less budget. You also heard him about talk about the changing in technology. Cloud is a good example. But Tom, I think probably the biggest reason in this long list of reasons is the number of failed IT projects. And starting with the FBI's own problems with Sentinel, it wasn't until the FBI moved Sentinel to an agile framework that it really got the project right on track. And I think the rest of government and industry took notice. Jeffrey Johnson is the FBI's chief technology officer. He was, at least until he went on a year-long detail to the Justice Department headquarters. Johnson led Sentinel's move to agile development.
Now that Sentinel is in regular monthly releases to production, the conversation has fundamentally shifted. We're not talking about how do I get all of my requirements, how do I get all of my wishes as a stakeholder, everything that I could possibly want or think I might want for the next 5 years into this requirement, so I won't allow for the release until it's all there, until it's all ready, because I'm not going to get anything else. What we're saying is, hey, I'm going to give you something this month. Is that good enough? It makes it better. Great. Okay, and then we'll talk next month, and if we can make it better again, we'll make it better again. Well, now the stakeholder is much more willing to accept something that simply makes their lives a little bit better, enhances the mission just a little bit, because they know there's an opportunity next month to do the same thing again.
Now, the move to Agile also helps with this idea of reducing risk around, you know, whether it's people or money or whatever it is, but they're getting capabilities to the field more quickly. And this approach is actually also creating a more collaborative environment between IT and mission owners. And I think in the end, that's what the really goal is making sure that the IT meets mission needs, not just IT for IT's sake. Tom, I'm sure we've heard that, you know, for decades now.
Yes, we have. We have heard that for decades.
And we continue to hear it. Now the move to Agile is not a done deal. There are still a lot of hurdles that have to get through. And I think one of the biggest challenges is the federal contracting process. We don't need to tell our listeners how the challenges with buying in the federal government. CIS, for example, created actually its own contracting vehicle where multiple teams of vendors are working on complementary projects that are focused on the same end result. But it took CIS almost 2 years to come up with this model. And obviously that just is too long for many, many projects. McCormick says DHS is working more broadly to address this contracting issue.
We're still sort of cooking some of that. We've learned a lot recently. And that is very much what you're going to hear Soraya and I talk about. I'm talking DHS now here specifically, because we recognize that we need to structure these contracts so that we can do things like fail fast. And we recognize that as we start to look at this continuous delivery model, there's a different kind of relationship with the operational aspects of the delivery system in a continuous delivery model. So that's an area that is being examined right now to look at the best way to strengthen that capability in this ongoing model. We always have an operational aspect. I talked to my operational folks today, some of which admittedly are sort of nervous about, hey, we're going to this and that. You say, hey, no, you're going to have a bigger role than you ever had before because we're relying on you to give us that end-to-end visibility.
Now, you heard McCormick say Soraya. That's Soraya Correa, the DHS Chief Procurement Officer. So here you have the IT guy and the procurement person working together to solve the contracting challenges. Now, McCormick says mission owners become more important now than ever because of how quickly the development happens, every couple weeks, every couple months. So it's whether or not that the mission owners are happy with this new capability, and then the application developers know if they got it right, and then they can move on or at least go back to the drawing board very quickly. The idea of fail fast.
Well, you know, Jason, I was just looking at something I check out from time to time, and that's at agilemanifesto.org, the original source of all of this information. And, of course, the Agile people must roll their eyes when they hear how it's actually used, the word, you know, out in the marketplace. They tend to take on whatever meanings people bring to it. But what you've described and what Luke McCormick was talking about seems pretty close to what the manifesto for Agile software development originally said. It said we value interactions and individuals over processes and tools, working software over comprehensive documentation, customer collaboration over contract negotiation, and responding to change over following a plan. That's pretty much what he was saying.
Right.
So I think this does seem like the real deal when it comes to Agile.
And you know, the more I talk to people in the government, the more they're getting to what you just described. I mean, I did an interview with Chad Sheridan, who is the CIO of the Agriculture Department's Risk Management Agency. And one of the things he talked about was rebaselining. And my head was like, oh, my God, you rebaseline? And he goes, whoa, wait a minute, let me explain. And he went into more detail, and people can find that interview on federalnewsradio.com. But the point is this, there's some bugaboos in the government, and you have to shatter them, and I think that idea of rebaselining is one of them.
Yes, indeed, because that sounds like sort of a cop-out and forgetting about all the losses that have gone beforehand. So if you can get around that, probably a good idea. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Appreciate that update.
My pleasure.